This is Sunday's Supplement, the podcast pullout that flops to the floor the moment you open your newspaper. Each week, we get our fingers inky so you don't have to. We put two of Britain's Sunday newspapers head-to-head to see which is the best supplement. So pull out your papers, liberate your supplements from their wrappers, and find out which paper you should have bought last Sunday. We're back! Yeah, and it's not a repeat on Dave.
No!
Not that we're on Dave.
No, we're not on Dave.
For our American listeners and Australian and Canadian listeners, Dave is a channel on cable. He's not an unfortunate man who we sit on.
Wow. I'm not speaking for Simon on that one, but if you're out there, Dave, take off the injunction against me.
I've been in France. That was quite interesting.
Et comment ça va?
C'est très bon.
Tu as fait en France?
I didn't touch kids. What?
Comment allez-vous?
Je m'appelle Simon.
Très bien.
Oui.
Je m'appelle Isabelle. J'ai 15 ans. That's wrong now, isn't it?
Yeah, you're not 15. I learned to say merci beaucoup pour votre anglais superbe because no one would speak French to me when I tried to speak French to them. Probably because I can't speak French.
Are you sure you were in France?
It's possible I never left Plymouth.
That is a sad and true thing. I mean, that's basically what's happened to Sir Walter Riley. Everybody said, oh, tell us about your adventures. He never left Plymouth. Those potatoes, he grew them himself out of his bottom.
I missed your birthday.
Yay!
You were here in England whilst I was possibly
very,
in Plymouth.
Very, very drunk. The day before my birthday, and then I was actually performing on my birthday. There was lots of people there. Tom Greaves was there, Big Tom. He was saying, hey, get with the Conservatives. And I was saying, no, Tom, no.
Well, of course, I missed the elections whilst I was in France.
You didn't vote, did you?
Well, I wasn't here.
I was here and I didn't.
It's your fault then that the BNP got in, obviously.
Yeah, obviously it's my fault. I actually, you know, would vote for the BNP, but I choose not to. I just don't vote. And that's the equivalent of it, apparently.
I noticed whilst I was in France, the MEP posters. They look, and I'm not joking, they look exactly like Edinburgh Fringe comedians' posters.
Does it have Chortle, 4 stars, on it?
To an extent, yeah. It's got a picture of the MEP in a kind of wacky pose. With,
excellent,
like, a single colour background and a strap across the bottom and a review. Yeah, it really was quite...
I laughed my arse off at his agricultural policies involving... beef. I don't know.
The best
thing
to hit Brussels since the sprout.
I could see that coming. See, as soon as you mentioned Brussels, obviously you're going to go for sprout. Nobody says, I thought there was a dog, which is called like a Brussels Terrier. That would be good. A little green one, rolled around a lot.
It would be a Jack Brussels, surely.
Hey!
Did you get a newspaper?
Yeah, I did get a newspaper. I think I'm going to win with this one as well. I got the Sunday Mirror.
I got the News of the World, so we've got a bit of a tabloid off coming up.
Of course.
I did nearly buy a copy of Le Monde.
Oh, that would have been good, Le Monde. What's the other one? Le Figaro.
And
Le Figaro.
West France.
Le Figaro is more right-wing than Le Monde. Europe's not really learnt from, you know, previous history. When the economic crisis happens, what you want to do is you want to vote for the right wing. That's the safe option.
That's what we're going to do.
That's what we've done. Well, in the MEP elections, all of Europe's gone a bit right as well, apart from the Swedish, who voted in the Pirates, which I think...
Yeah, that was amazing, wasn't it? They voted in the party that was standing against internet privacy laws. And,
yeah.
Laws against downloading films and things.
They want free videos. That's what they want. And what was really nice about that is the Pirate Party in Sweden got 7% of the Swedish vote. The Labour Party in the UK got 5% of the vote.
Got 5% of the Swedish vote? How bizarre.
Yeah, well, you know.
On the Swedish ballot, rather than putting an X, did they put an R?
Well, no, they didn't, because the trouble is you've got the Cutie Pie Party as well, and they get confused because you can't have the pirates going R and the Cutie Pie Party going R. It's very difficult in spelling to distinguish. It's usually actually capitalised and there's fewer R's in R.
There's fewer R's in Sweden. That's why they didn't go right wing. Time to decide what we're going to clout and keep then. I've got in fabulous body and soul... The Age Dysmorphics. Just 20, but all I see are wrinkles. And this is about 20-year-old women who are getting Botox and facelifts and skin fills and dermabrasion and...
That just seems a bit weird.
Well, yeah.
Can't be that wrinkly at 20. Unless they want to look 12.
Despite the fact that Eva looks like a teenager, she's convinced she's aging fast because she used to smoke and use sunbeds. I think I look at least 30, she moans.
You don't realise how old 30 is, though, Simon. That's your problem.
But even if you're 20 and you look 30, you still don't look old.
True. So they want to look about 12. Is that the idea?
Well, she goes on to say, I just want my young skin back. I don't want to look old. It's so unattractive. Everyone knows that to get on in life, you must be young and fresh. You'll never get anywhere going for a job interview looking like an old hag.
Aww.
Man alive. Some friends think I'm mad, but I don't care. They don't realise how much it would mean for me to look young again. You're 20 years old.
I think that's just a lady with some sort of body dysmorphic disorder, isn't that right?
Yeah. Looking young and gorgeous will get me what I want in life, and that's what really matters.
So, you know, even if you told her that 16 was too old, she'd believe you. I'd say make her wear a beard. That's what they should do. That should be the cure for that. She has to wear a beard for 6 months.
There's a difference between being dysmorphic and thinking that you have to look young in order to get anywhere in life, and that looking young and gorgeous will get me what I want, and that's all that really matters. That's not dysmorphia. That's something different, I think.
That's just reality.
It's not reality at all.
Well, it's in a little bit. I still think it is quite a lot for women, especially women in the public eye in terms of the celebrity actress culture.
Okay, well, coming to that point, Dr. Funk Barfour, which is just the best name. Dr. Funk says that 30 years ago, women's priorities were about getting a job and earning their own money. We've since taken steps backwards thanks to our obsession with celebrity. It's all about looking flawless and cellulite-free, like our airbrushed idols. Susan Boyle is a good example of how we value beauty over maturity. When she auditioned on Britain's Got Talent, we assumed that because she looked natural and dowdy, she couldn't possibly have any talent. And that kind of gets to your point, really. To equate success with celebrity is also an incredibly disingenuous thing to do, and backwards.
I mean, Susan Boyle's the opposite, though, because if she'd been a very, very pretty woman of about, say, 35, everybody would have gone, oh, yeah, she can sing, but so what?
Yeah.
So it's defying expectations, basically. You know, even munters like you, Simon, can do quite well.
Mm, not very nice.
Oh, I don't mean it.
Yeah, you did.
No, I don't.
You did. I've got to dig this knife out of my back now. You tell me about your cut out and keep.
Simon, stop masturbating.
This is what masturbating sounds like.
Anyway, I'm going to switch on the camera between me and Simon so Simon can see exactly what my cut out and keep is.
Okay. Is it Felicity Kendall naked? It's a Doctor Who poster.
I'm a Doctor Who poster.
David Tennant, Doctor Who.
Yeah, David Tennant.
Not the Matthew Big Forehead man, who I don't know his name.
He's doing the kind of like angry expression, but he's not doing the totally sort of like owl thing that he does, where his entire face goes into a beak and he just looks at you and goes, with his sonic screwdriver. The sonic screwdriver is pointed at the floor and he's kind of reaching out to you sideways as if to say, you've got something on your belt.
So hang on, your cut out and keep is a poster.
Yeah.
That's not a cut out, that's already cut out.
Yeah. It's even better. That's what makes it perfect.
No, you've got to do better than that.
On the back of it though, Simon. Oh, okay. Right, hang on. Check out the back. Can you see what that is?
A Dalek crossword. No,
no,
a Dalek maze.
Maze, right? Okay. It's an entire maze. I'm going to do that later. It says enter here, finish here.
Showing you where to enter a Dalek. Come on.
You enter through the eye and you exit through the socket plug.
How do Daleks masturbate?
They can do it from inside. They've got tentacles.
They've got suction cups, though.
Rose just had to touch them and regenerate an entire Dalek, but an emotional Dalek. I find it very odd that, you know, a Vulcan, which lacks emotion, is seen as a very nice thing. But
no,
a Dalek...
Vulcans aren't seen as good because they're trying to forever turn Spock into a human. Same way as with Data and all the other Spock clones throughout the Star Trek universe.
Well, Daleks came before Spock, didn't they?
I don't know how Daleks masturbate. I certainly don't know how Vulcans masturbate, so I don't know who comes quickest.
Can I just do a spoiler for the end of the Star Trek? Oh, no, you haven't seen Star Trek's film.
I have. Saw it before you.
Okay, fine. Can we talk about the ending?
If you like. Spoiler alert, spoiler alert.
Yeah, so stop listening. Right?
Stop listening now, but keep listening to when we're going to tell you to listen
again. Exactly. I'd give it about 2 minutes, because this is going to be good, right? Spock, big old Spock, tells young Spock that conversation at the end,
yeah,
that young Spock should go off with Captain Kirk on adventures, manly adventures, and old Spock should repopulate the colonies of Vulcan. As in, old Spock gets all the punani and young Spock agrees to it.
Yeah, but that just shows that old Spock has become more human.
Old Spock is basically a drilling machine. Which is ironic considering he helped destroy one. And young Spock is basically like, yeah, that seems fair. Don't talk about, you know, sperm degradation or anything. Like, no, that's all fine. Maybe Vulcans are a bit more clinical about it, and so they might use IVF or something like that. It is the future, after all. Imagine that's pretty good. And you can, you know, the fact that Spock's old doesn't matter because they can select his. But that does mean, though, that Spock's going to have to provide a lot of samples. I just want to know what his reading material is for providing those samples.
Well, yeah, what would happen if a Vulcan was self-abusing himself and accidentally did the death grip?
Oh, wow. You get a limp cock. That's... Idiot cock would just fall asleep immediately. That'd be really useful, though, wouldn't it? Because I imagine being a woman, having a penis constantly popping out of one's trousers must be very annoying. So having a little death grip thing, just going, no, I'll.
How often do penises pop out of trousers?
That must happen all the time.
But you never see it.
Surprisingly, a few times. I just assume that it's because, you know, nobody fancies me. Oh.
So basically, you're offering up a poster.
I'll do another one, right? Okay. From cooking in the perfect steak to teaching kids to ride a bike, they are 20 things you should know how to do.
Oh, God.
Do you want to know how to treat a snake bite?
Buy a cake.
Yeah, nice. How to get out of quicksand.
Why do you need to know how to get out of quicksand? How often does your average Sunday Mirror reader get stuck in quicksand?
Stack a burger. Now, I disagree with their stacking of a burger. They've got sesame bun, then gherkins, then tomato, then cheddar, then the meaty stuff, then top quality onions, then crisp lettuce, and then tomato sauce. That's entirely the wrong order.
You put the cheese on top of the burger so it melts.
Yeah. First of all,
you don't have gherkins. You put the lettuce in shredded at the top with the tomato in between and the ketchup above the cheese.
I'd say the ketchup on top bun, not the bottom bun. And no. Maybe right, yeah. Ketchup on the bottom bun underneath the meat. And then
you have mayonnaise on the bottom
at the
bun.
Top. No, mayonnaise top to stop the salad from sliding around. You're a moron, Simon. I win.
It's time to play article or farcical, or article ou farcical. Although I doubt either of those words are French.
True. I think the article comes from an actually Anglo-Saxon thing. So everybody thinks that because it's got a claw, it must be a Latinate word. But actually, it is the noise that a Viking makes when having a poo.
When pooing feathers. Article!
No. It's the R, which is the guttural R, like, you know, obviously. And the tickle is actually the onomatopoeic sound of a poo entering water.
I see.
We're going to get tweets about that, Simon. We really are.
Okay.
Because people are going to be like, now, Vikings, they shat in the woods.
No, the Pope does that.
Oh, yeah, there's a Pope, isn't it? Sorry, I get confused with hats. Anyway, so we've got 4 articles, one of which I've made up, but 3 of which are found in the Sunday Mirror. So, Simon, can you tell the difference between the one I made up and the genuine articles? Can you?
No. Well, I never can. I always just guess randomly.
Well, you see, the thing is, you guess randomly and chance favours that you've done.
This time last year, you were berating me for not getting any right. And now this year, things have changed. It's like there's been an economic collapse and I've somehow been the beneficiary of your bad mismanagement of this section.
Okay, so Simon, which is article, which is farcical? Kids go wee.
Kids go wee. Is this about things children shouldn't do in swimming pools?
Ah, it's just in the holiday stuff.
Okay.
Father and fun.
Okay, there's a bit of a family theme going on so far.
Oil and trouble.
You're just quoting Macbeth now.
That's tomorrow. That's not the next one. Okay, and finally, lastly, is this an article or is this a farcical? Yes, please, dungarees.
Oh, you knew I'd like that one.
Yeah, I did.
You thought, oh, that's perfect for Simon. And you even said it in a pirate accent like that. Wow, I've been in Plymouth too long. I really am slipping into my pirate.
That's a bit intimate right now. You should leave your pirate alone. Otherwise your pirate will get a bit tired.
That would also be an article.
No!
Right, kids go wee, I presume is...
It's spelled with an H and three E's.
You don't put an H in wee.
Well, you can.
Well, you can, but then it's wee.
Yeah,
kids go
it is.
Whee.
Okay,
it's
sorry.
Not as good,
kids
is it?
Go wee. It's like pool whip. Kids go wee.
Oil and Trouble, what's that about?
I don't know, it's about cars. It's in the car section. It's oil.
Oh, okay. And Yes Please Dungarees, I really want that to be true. So, kids go whee, I'm going to say, is the farcical.
All right then, so are you strapped in, readers? Are you ready? Are you excited? Are you ready to have the full reveal? So, Father and Fun, let's start with that one. That is an article. I don't know what it's about because I saw it and just went, mm.
That's what I've been doing all day in my paper.
Oil and Trouble is in the motoring section. Well done, Simon. So it's between Kids Go Whee and Yes Please Dungarees. Simon says that Kids Go Whee is a farcical, and Simon is wrong.
Oh, you beat me in my own game.
I did beat you in your own game. Oh. And actually, it is Yes Please Dungarees. I made that one up. It was inspired by an article about Peaches Geldof wearing some dungarees or a dungareesy type denim thing and Celeb magazine telling her that she looked horrible.
You say dungarees and I automatically think of Felicity Kendall, I'm afraid.
Not really dungarees. And it does look pretty bad. But then again, you know, it doesn't look awful. Well, it does a bit, but I don't care. I don't care. Why are you telling me these things, Simon?
So essentially, I've lost, and that represents a massive swing away from my huge majority of wins in the last few weeks. You know, maybe I should resign.
I'm up for that. I think you should just edit my podcast. We're called The Izzy Izzy Show with
just
Izzy.
Just be you talking to yourself. It wouldn't be that much different from now.
Catty.
Your letters, and we had quite a few moans about us not being here last week.
We did, which is very sweet. It is nice to be missed, even though it is quite aggressive.
How dare you not provide us with free entertainment because you're away on holiday, Simon. No, it's fine. It was nice. I was needy and it was nice to be missed. You know, you didn't miss me. You didn't even notice I'd gone. I logged onto the internet on Monday from France and heard you just talking to yourself.
That kind of happened. I was on another podcast. I cheated on the Sunday Supplement.
You cheated on me?
Yes.
You evil, evil thing. What other podcast would you...
Well, it was the Righteous Indignation podcast.
Well, I'm righteously indignant about the fact that you put your voice in another podcast.
Tristan and Haley, and they do like, it's like a new UK skeptic podcast because they do their paranormal debunkers and, sorry, investigators. And for some reason they wanted me, mainly because of Oxford Skeptics in the Pub, but also Tristan listens into our podcast.
What was the address for the Righteous Indignation podcast?
It's ripodcast.co.uk. So that's ripodcast.co.uk.
Well, I hope it was worth jeopardising our podcast relationship for Tristan and Haley. So, yes, talking of slinky hips, we've had a few more entries this week. This is an indefinite competition, by the way. There's no end date, and there really is no prize other than the thought of actually going on a date with the person you want to go on a date with.
Which out is
of
Alan
Spock, Data, Rickman, Simon, and the Hutch.
I'd much prefer to go out on a date with Snape. Or even, no, not probably not the prince because he's too happy, or the sheriff of Nottingham, he's too happy. Now, you'd want to go out with Snape because he's all bitter and, you know, like into someone else. And so you could just, you know, use him for sex and it'd be brilliant. And you wouldn't have to care about, am I still talking?
You are still talking. Read out an email now.
We have, were I in the UK, I'd opt to go out with Simon because he's the only one you could actually deliver. And I think you're overestimating Simon's ability to do anything.
Also, I don't think I'd fit in the post.
Yeah, that's true. I'm pragmatic that way. Also, he's funny. The Hutch is funny, but more from a distance way. I wouldn't want to be in his blast radius. Excellent use of the word blast radius. I've been playing along at home in the past 2 weeks. I pick up the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, affectionately known as the Post-Disgrace, and use the Parade magazines as my supplements. I can only assume that you've never seen Parade magazine, but it's included in most major US papers in the Sunday edition. I lose every week because the Parade is just garbage. I suspect that even with you being off this week, I shall still lose. Shade in and shut up. That's from the Reverend Max. But he's a regular reader and we love him dearly, don't we, Simon?
Yes.
Yes.
So do keep sending us your Slinky Hips competition entries to sundaypodcast@hotmail.com, putting Slinky Hips in the subject line.
And also have a listen to Righteous Indignation podcast. It's very good. And Hayley and Tristan are both clever, articulate, amusing and informative.
So it's the exact opposite of our podcast.
Kind of, yeah.
They also don't talk about pirate poo.
Arr.
Also, wouldn't that be the noise that if you're a Vulcan and you did a death grip just at the moment of orgasm?
Why would you do a death grip just unless you're a necrophilic Vulcan?
Well, you might tense up. It is called le petit mort in French.
It's not called le petit mort. Sex is not called le petit mort.
No, the orgasm is.
After the orgasm is called le petit mort. Not the actual orgasm.
Oh, I thought the orgasm was called
le petit mort. No, it's afterwards. It's that le petit mort. It's after the orgasm, not the actual orgasm.
The French have some good words for feelings you can't quite describe, don't they? Like ennui.
Yeah, that's a good one. Or je ne sais quoi.
La mange, or food, or something. That's eating, isn't
saucisson.
It? Saucisson. Well, a gob full of saucisson. God, we're being dirty this week.
Well, no, you're being dirty because you're obsessed with Spock sex. I didn't even want to put him in the competition. I was happy with Data.
Well, he's battery powered. It's not the same.
I think Spock at his age is probably battery powered by now.
It'd also be quite cold, wouldn't it?
What, Data?
Yeah, he's not warm-blooded.
No, I mean, my laptop runs really hot. So imagine how fast...
You don't walk around with that between your legs, do you? I know you've got a new MacBook and you really like it, but you don't like it that much.
I do.
Jamie Oliver's got a bit on the side, and for libel law reasons, I do need to point out the fact that he's talking about a honey poached apricot dish.
Oh, the whore. I can't believe he did that to his kids.
Yeah, 4 tablespoons of runny honey.
Right, I've got food news, right, which isn't in the news section. It's in the Slebs on Sunday. And it's lovely because it's Chef Vicky Boggle shows how to make fruity lollies and gives us tips to get our bod's bikini ready. But listen to this, it's mango ice sticks with dipping sugar.
Oh.
So basically, you'll need 2 very ripe mangoes.
A pair of ripe mangoes.
Yeah. Oh, you two are a pair of ripe mangoes.
And
oh, that's
a big
lovely.
Stick.
Yeah, you need some sticks as well. So, for the method, you puree the mango flesh in a few...
That's just abuse and torture now.
Not mandingo, mango. Puree the mango flesh in a food processor or blender. Pour into an ice cube tray and freeze. Check after 30 minutes. When it is, when a box is like semi-frozen, insert a cocktail stick into each cube and put back in the freezer and leave to freeze completely. And then all the other ingredients, which is light muscovado sugar, white sugar, coarse sea salt, the zest of a lemon, the zest of a lime, and a couple of good pinches of cayenne pepper, right? Crush all those up together and then just literally lick and dip. Nom 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 nom.
Ask Jamie, is it better to use fresh or dried pasta? It all depends.
Right, Simon. Well, if that's a brilliant one. Banish the bloating and get beach ready, right? So some food for you to eat is pineapple, carrots, swap wheat and potatoes for brown rice and oats, freeze whole grapes and eat as ice cold treats. Ooh, ow.
I'm not freezing my grapes.
You should freeze your grapes and shove them. Anyway, but things to avoid, Simon. Raw veg, chickpeas, broccoli, cauliflower, beans, fizzy drinks and yeasty foods like soy sauce and Marmite. Who'd have thunk?
So if I eat all that, I'll fit into my bikini in the summer.
Yes, you will. I think, though, Simon, the reader should send in your bikinis for Simon. Just picture the bikini you'd like to see Simon in. And if it's cheap enough, we'll buy it for him and take photos. What'd you say, Simon?
I think that would be the most hideous, disgusting thing ever.
I think we could get Leonard Nimoy to do the same.
Time to pull out our humdongers, measure them up for size and compare them.
This is probably the worst ever thing I've ever read.
Go on.
Aranda Holden. Not Amanda, Aranda.
Right.
Church dash to Corrie wedding. It's usually the bride who has to worry about getting to the church on time, but yesterday it was Amanda Holden running late, literally as she broke into a jog to reach the wedding of Corrie stars Lucy Lowe Hudson and Alan Hulsell. All
right.
That's the story.
That she was late for a wedding.
And I've got pictures of her running.
A whole page.
Oh no, I'm late, thinks wedding guest Amanda. I'm sure no one will notice if I just dash across the lawn. Do you know what's really sad about this? Big cover-up. Bride and groom hide their wedding clothes after bash. There's a tiny little photo of the bride and groom, but they're wearing like raincoats on their wedding day to avoid being snapped up by the press because they've presumably given exclusive rights to other people.
God.
Which, considering a wedding is a public event, I think is ridiculous.
Blue bite back. I've got a four-page spread about the reunion of Blue. I don't know who Blue are, but they've got this photo shoot where they're all wearing dog collars and leads and ripped t-shirts and they're covered in grime and dirt, growling. It doesn't even look convincing. They look like a waxwork bland, ooh, this is what S&M is. Like Madame Tussauds does Max Mosley. That's a weird image to put in anyone's head. But apparently excitement reached fever pitch when we heard you were reuniting. I don't even know they've broken up. I don't even know who they are.
They're Blue. Is it Justin from Blue?
No. There's Simon, Duncan, Anthony and Lee.
Duncan from Blue, that's the one.
Right, apparently he was the sex god.
The black guy's quite pretty as well.
Simon.
What's his name? Simon.
Oh. Simons are always pretty. So they asked the question, so how come you've got back together after 4 years apart? And this is the best answer I've ever heard. We were offered silly money to do some gigs, and there is a recession on after all.
That's the reason to carry on with art.
But then, this is my favourite bit of the whole thing. You're invisible for a day. What do you do? Duncan says, sneak into Angelina and Brad's house and watch them making out. They're a sexy couple. That would be so hot.
Really? Because they've got, like, loads of kids, so imagine the nappies and the pool.
It'd be horrible, wouldn't it?
Well, you wouldn't want to have sex with Brad Pitt, because once you've done that, it's just like, well, there's nowhere to go now.
Well, you could have sex with Simon. Lee says, go into the government archive of conspiracy theories and have a look. Like there's a big room in a warehouse from the X-Files. Don't tell anyone, but...
Don't tell anyone, but there aren't any. Whoops!
And Simon says, I'd walk around Parliament. I want to know if MPs really have posh accents or if they just put them on.
That's excellent, the idea that anybody would choose to speak properly. Oh, yeah.
In fact, my whole Fabulous magazine could be a humdonger this week.
I've got Wonder Webb, which is literally a guy called Simon Webb, who I don't know who
Never
he is.
Never heard of him.
No, that's the guy. It's the same guy from Blue. That's
oh,
really cool.
God.
Yeah, Simon Webb, shaking the hand of an old lady. And actually,
shaking the hand of an old lady does sound like one of those euphemisms for masturbation. I'm shaking the hand of an old lady.
What old lady has a cock-shaped hand? That would be an odd form of arthritis.
But they don't make sense, do they? Choking a chicken. What cock looks like a chicken?
Well, it's a cock.
But it's still not a chicken.
Yeah, but then it's called a cock.
Introducing yourself to Auntie Matilda. I may have just made that one up. But that's
yeah, you might have done. I've never introduced myself to Auntie Matilda. I can certainly say that. But my Amanda Holden's on page 3 of the Sunday Mirror.
But if it's on page 3, it's not a supplement.
Oh, pish posh.
I win. Time to decide then who has the superior supplements this week.
It's definitely me.
Well, you say that every week.
I got a big A2 size poster of Mr. David Tennant.
So you've got Doctor Who poster as opposed to my 6-page photo shoot that's allegedly sexy of Sophie Ellis-Bextor.
Oh my God, that's terrifying.
It's actually quite terrifying.
That is proper scary because I'm like, you know, she doesn't look human. She's kind of almost like somebody who's gone into the X-Files, dragged her out, filled her back up with liquid, probably just pure milk, and sloshed her around a bit. And she's basically a drum kit with milk on it.
If I said any of that, you'd have accused me of being a sexist, misogynistic prick.
But that's because you are a sexist, misogynistic prick.
They ask her, have you ever? And they say, have you ever Googled yourself? And she says, when I'm feeling masochistic, I Google I hate Sophie Ellis-Bextor.
That's great.
Poor her. Anyway, so yeah, the newspaper you should have bought last Sunday was the Sunday Mirror.
Whee!
it was all right.
We've had a bit of a break, so I think this episode's been a bit sort of like, ugh. And also, I was up late last night because I was battling a Daddy Long Legs.
Wow, those Battle Royale films have really gone downhill.
Seriously, though, this thing, right, it was that, you know, it was coming towards me like a drunk man in a nightclub and wanting basically just to get on my face. And
I've only ever been on the other side of that equation, I'm afraid.
Excellent. Well, you know, at least if you were a Daddy Long Legs, you'd be a very little one and a kind of tired fat one.
Thanks very much. You've been very kind to me this week.
You'd be more of a bumblebee, Simon. But this little Daddy Long Legs, it wasn't a little one. It was a pure sort of Michael Phelps of the Daddy Long Legs world, right? Proper big, lanky and f***ing scary, right? And it was coming at me. So I got out my belt. I thought this would be genius. And I whipped it and I got it midair and it went, I didn't quite crack my belt, but it hit it. It was brilliant. And it got up again, right? So then I decided what I'd do is I'd use my brute body force and I literally slammed it. I jumped on it. It was in midair from a foot on the floor.
You barely flopped a Daddy Long Legs.
I barely flopped it, right? And then I like looked around for it. It was still alive and it flew off, right? Leaving a couple of legs in my bed. I was not happy. So I flicked it again, missed it. Flicked it again, got it, right? It fell and then it flew off again. So if you come across a one-legged Daddy Long Legs coming towards you with its one long tendril, right, back off. That thing means business.
Our theme tune is Got Carter by George Wood and is used with kind permission.